Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with SBK. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmy here on The Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment and subscribe. We're going to look back at the Scheffler domination and look ahead to this week's golf. Steve, how are you?
Well, what a difference a week can make, Dave. You know, this time last week, we were absolutely buzzing, weren't we? Almost had three winners and felt invincible. Felt invincible going into the USPGA, but we certainly weren't invincible. It couldn't have gone much worse. We've not been doing well in the majors, Dave. Doing really well in the rubbish events this year. But when it comes to the majors, we're struggling, which is a shame because obviously more people bet on them. But last year, we had a really good major season. So I'm hoping it's just a blip. Get back on track at the US Open.
Well, I'm trying to see the silver lining. Good week, bad week, good week, bad week. Maybe we're back on track with that, Steve. So we're going to bounce back this week.
I like your PMA, Dave. I like your PMA. No, lots to discuss. It was an interesting tournament. It wasn't a very enjoyable tournament. I don't really rate the course much, and obviously the selections play poorly. So, not the most fun we've ever had. But as you say, we can get right back on that horse this week and bounce back.
And beautiful scenes. We love former Sweet Spot host Bruce Millington. Up the Eagles. Glad all over and all that. Brilliant scenes.
Yes, if you were a Crystal Palace fan, you would have had a fantastic weekend. You would have forgot all about the golf. It was nice to see the underdog win. Yeah, apologies to any Manchester City fans, but obviously you've won a fair bit over the last few years, haven't you? So, yeah, I think the neutrals were happy for Palace.
Okay, right. We are here, of course, with our friends SBK. Do jump onto their website, betsbk.com. Now, usually, this would be me plugging their new customer offer. Bet 10, get £30 in three bets. It's now £40 in free bets. So jump onto the website. It's gone up. Terms and conditions apply, 18 plus. Do remember to gamble responsibly there. So betsbk.com. Bet a tenner and get £40 in free bets, golf bets. You can have it on the golf this week. Right, let's look back then, Steve. It was a domination from the chef. Never really looks in any doubt. John Rahm maybe showed up a little bit late on. Third major. He got two Masters and now this. How many does he have to win to be an all-time great?
Oh, blimey, straight in with the big questions. Yep. I mean, yeah, I suppose he has to win five to become an all-time great. I mean, if you go up the list, there's not many that get past five. Speculation is rife, as it always is in these circumstances, of how many he's going to win. I think there's a fair chance he gets to double figures. I mean, he's not an old man, is he? He's 28 years. He's 28. He's 28. So, I mean, you could say he's got 15 years left at the highest level if stays fit, wins a major a year for 15 years. It's not too big an ask, then you do the math. He is the greatest player ever from there, but I think it's more likely that he'll win about 10. But it's good for him to win one other than Augusta. Obviously, he'd only won majors at Augusta, and last week he just grew into the tournament. He didn't play well at the start. He didn't play well in round one, but kept his scorecard together. So he had a 69 on Thursday. Didn't play particularly well on Friday, 68. Yeah, this is his ability to score, Dave. Yeah, it sounds simple, but his ability to grind and make a score when he's not playing well is better than anyone else, I'd say. And then, he really only clicked into top gear at the end of round three. Were you watching round three? You're probably out disco dancing on Saturday night, weren't you? Late on Saturday night. At the end of round three, he just played perfect golf from the 14th tee onwards. He was five under par for the closing five holes. There's three of the most difficult holes in the course in that stretch. So that was a burst of brilliance that won him the tournament because he needed that cushion. The cushion was developed late on Saturday and he needed that cushion on Sunday because he came out the gates again on Sunday and he wasn't playing well again, was he? He had the hooks. Everything was going left on Sunday. And obviously John Rahm got level with him, but Scheffler, again, this is another one of his qualities I want to discuss. He's the master at steadying his ship, isn't he?
Evident on the Thursday, I think, more than anything else. Whereas McIlroy just went a bit, it all went a bit south for him. We'll get on to drivers and all sorts
Well, Scheffler doubled the 16th on
Thursday, but he just kept himself in contention, didn't he? Nothing silly.
Yeah,
just,
he's the master at steadying his ship. I think his new nickname should be the captain. I know Ali Carter. Ali Carter, the snooker player, might have to give that one up, because I think we should be calling him the captain, because whenever his ship starts to wobble, he's just brilliant at steadying it. And at the turn on Sunday, it was up for grabs. You know, John Rahm was finishing like a train and they were level. But then Scheffler birdied the 10th and just cruised home from there.
And what about, Steve? You know, last week's show was all about length. You know, we're talking about length, and did the course not quite play how you thought it was going to?
It was very soggy. I mean, they're all moaning about mud balls, weren't they, in the first round? It was very, very soggy fairways, but very firm greens. You know, the sub-air system dried the greens out remarkably well. It's a very strange setup in the end, because you had very, very soft, soggy fairways, but then really firm greens because their sub-air system, state of the art. I think length was still a huge asset. It's a really long, long slog. But yeah, Scheffler's not a short hitter. I mean, he's very, very effective driver, and his driving was up and down last week. You know, on Sunday, I thought he was in big trouble because he just couldn't seem to stop his drives going left. And then his caddy had some wonderful advice for him. Have you seen the post round media conference? His caddy's advice after all those shots going left, maybe just aim a bit further right. So Ted Scott comes up with that. I mean, it's understated advice, but it was effective. Just
talking about driving, Steve, let's talk drivers. What have you made of all the chat? I mean, McIlroy didn't win the Masters because he's got an obscene driver. Scheffler has not been winning a million events because he's got an obscene driver, have they?
No. The driver chat is ridiculous, and we'll come on to that in a minute, because it's a real shame how it's been overblown on social media. I mean, we'll come to the driver chat, but firstly, I just want to conclude with Scheffler, because I think the thing we didn't put enough stock in last week in our selections was the preparation. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Scheffler got his preparation spot on, because he was the only one that missed the Truist Championship. So he played in the Byron Nelson in more similar conditions to Quail Hollow, then took a week off before the major. Then you had every other player playing in the Truist on a course which was completely different to Quail Hollow. And then obviously going into it a little bit jaded from the Truist. So I feel like I should have put more stock into the preparation rather than Scheffler's lack of course form. So, you know, lessons learned from that. But
Beat yourself up though, because you know we were on the hype train, the Rory Mania. You know, he's the best player in the world. Like, it was quite evident. You know, it was one or the other, right? Well, so you've picked Rory. It turned out to be Scheffler.
Yeah. I mean, Rory McIlroy, it was just such a disappointing performance. You're 47th place. You know, there I am urging punters to play each way, and he's finished 47th. You know, staggeringly bad performance, and the driver issues have been leapt on by many. It's become a real talking point, isn't it? But yeah, for anyone who doesn't notice, or anyone who hasn't heard, and has been living in a cave, he had a non-conforming driver. The USGA deemed his driver non-conforming on the Tuesday, I believe it was. So then he's had a rush to find a replacement head and build a replacement for the tee time. So yeah, massively unsettling. And I wish it really didn't happen. And I wish it hadn't happened in a major, because the faces get too thin, Dave. I mean, if we don't get too bogged down in the details here, but it's just wear and tear of the face makes it too thin. And then it has that trampoline effect because the face is too thin. So the USGA have deemed it illegal. And
random checks, though, aren't they? They're random.
Well, yeah, this is it. I mean, if you do get me started on this, I may not be able to finish, because that is the real problem. They check 30 drivers. You got a field of 156 and they do 30 random checks. Yeah, this sport it's got so much money in this sport. Why can't they employ enough people to do 156 driver checks? It's just grossly unfair, isn't it, to not check every driver. So I think from this moment on, given the amount of publicity this Rory McIlroy driver story has got, they must surely be testing 156 drivers. It tests every player in the field. It can't be random. But McIlroy suffered. And having to get a replacement so late really unsettled him, because his driving was so bad. He hardly found a fairway. But what we must point out is that Scotty Scheffler also had the same issue, Dave.
Yeah.
Scotty Scheffler had to replace his driver on the same day. It only came out because someone asked him about the driver situation for McIlroy in the media conference. So Scheffler's also gone through the same thing, but it seems like he anticipated it. He said in the Byron Nelson, he felt like the face was getting a bit thin because he'd used it for over a year. So he had one already lined up. So maybe Scheffler's preparation, not just in terms of his scheduling, but in terms of his meticulous anticipation of the fact that his driver may fail the test. It seems like he was rewarded for that. We don't know whether Rory had one ready because he didn't answer any questions, Dave.
What did you make of that?
He just completely, he turned down any media engagement during the event. I mean, he said during the Masters, he likes to get in his bubble and, you know, maybe this is going to be the policy going forward in majors, just to blank the media throughout. You know, quite a controversial move.
It's strange that they don't have, you know, a lot of these, you think of the snooker tour, you know, I know that the players sign a contract to get their tour card and there's media obligations built into the contract. So that's obviously not the case with the golfers.
No, it's not. And it's been a bone of contention this year in particular. Colin Morikawa had a big spat with the media earlier in the year over this. He's become the sort of the villain amongst the media crew for doing the same thing. And then Shane Lowry came out and said, it's outrageous. We have to speak so soon after rounds. And now Rory's done this. So it's definitely a hot topic. I think you're probably right. I think they should be contracted. It was a shame we couldn't hear from Rory. He obviously didn't want to talk about this driver situation. But as I say, I think it might be a tactic he's using for majors about getting in the bubble. But yeah, the driving was abysmal. Hardly found a fairway. But it wasn't just the driving, wasn't it? The approach play was poor. The putting was poor. So I'm angry with myself for not putting more stock in the preparation today, because Scheffler's was spot on. And McIlroy's, he flew back to Northern Ireland after winning the Masters. Big celebrations at home. Got ill in Northern Ireland. Came back, played the Zurich Classic ill, didn't he, Dave? He was under the weather during the Zurich Classic. They only had a week off. All sorts of TV interviews, talking about the Masters. Then the Truest Championship. So I just felt he looked a bit jaded last week. I don't know what you feel, Dave. He looked jaded. He was grouchy in the pre-tournament.
Not talking to the media is a bad sign in my eyes. Like that, I don't like that.
No, I didn't like that. And I think the pre-tournament media conference, you had clues because there was a couple of questions he took exception to and he was really quite grouchy towards himself.
He was spiky with the Bryson one, wasn't he? About, well, what does he want to be my friend on the round? I'm trying to win a golf tournament.
Spiky about that. And then spiky about another one. There was a fella, I felt sorry for the fella. He was obviously trying to craft this feature, which potentially quite an interesting feature. I know how difficult it is to generate features as a fellow journalist, but he was trying to create a feature where you ask players what they would trade. Would you trade your driving with someone else?
I saw that.
Would you trade your this? And like he was getting good responses from everyone, but then hit a brick wall with McIlroy and McIlroy just sort of turned into Tiger Woods and said, I wouldn't trade anything. And then the poor old fellow was going, well, if you had to, and he goes, well, I don't have to. So it was all getting a little bit nasty before. But I just think that's what happens. He just looked tired. And from that moment, I was a little bit concerned when I saw that, because we don't perform our best when we're tired. We get grouchy when we're tired, don't we? I get grouchy when I'm tired, and everyone I know does. And I think that's the case with McIlroy. So I misjudged the preparation. I apologise. I still thought we had a chance on Saturday morning, Dave, because he had that lovely early tea time in the morning, calm, leaders going out in the breeze. I thought he was going to catch up. And then the thunderstorms came in on Saturday morning. I was on the golf course with Tommy Tiger at that point. And I see that plays delayed from thunder. I thought, oh, well, that is it. Because then he had it. Then they changed to a U draw, Dave. McIlroy's tee time is like shunted 6 hours later. He got to the course. This wouldn't have helped his mood. I think he was moody all week. He got to the course at 5 a.m. on Saturday because he had a really early tee time. And then he ended up being one of the last people off in the U draw because they put the leaders out at the same time as the back markers from two tees. So he spent all day at the course just getting angrier and angrier, I guess.
You just said that like on the bongos there.
Yeah, we need some bongos to cheer
just
us.
Just on the last word on the equipment stuff. Last word on the equipment stuff. What about just taking away these checks? I mean, I want to see like 500-yard drives. Just let them have it, whatever they want to do.
Yeah, because you lose control if your driver face is so thin that it's sort of connecting with the trampoline effect behind it. you don't want to drive like that, do you? So this is what was winding me up about the social media stuff, because everyone's sort of calling McIlroy a cheat and saying that he's got to give his green jacket back because he won the Masters with an illegal club. It's absolute baloney, because you don't want a driver that's about to crack. You know, the face is really thin. You lose control. It's just one of those things, but they need to test all of them. But let's talk about other players outside of the dominant winner.
First player I want to ask you about is John Rahm, back John on the Rahm. Scene. Was it the 13th? I think he lipped out when it looked like it was in. What might have been, maybe, I don't know, I doubt it, but he was certainly a presence on the Sunday, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it was nice to see John Rahm back contending for majors. We all know he's one of the best players in the world. Yes. We're worried that being a LIV player has dented that competitive spirit. 3-round tournaments, music playing, rubbish golf courses, easy golf courses. I'm worried about John Rahm losing his competitive edge. He obviously is even more worried about John Rahm losing his competitive edge. And I sense that he wanted it too much on Sunday when he got into contention. Yeah. Like, he'd be desperate to win a major as a LIV player, wouldn't it? It would put all the chat to bed, if he could win a major as a LIV player. That finish must be such a dent to his self-belief. Bogey, double bogey, double bogey. Five over for the last three holes. He took it amazingly well. If you watch his post-round interview, he's like the most measured John Rahm you've ever seen. I don't know whether
he sound like a man who's got like £1 billion in the bank.
But I was expecting him to be really angry and spiky. I couldn't believe the words that came out of his mouth. It's almost like he obviously didn't do this. Don't set the lawyers on me. It's like he'd been on the peace pipe before he went in there. Like he'd come off the course, they've handed him the peace pipe, and then he's gone out to face the media. You should watch it. It's staggeringly measured and calm. But I do think deep down, that was a huge dent.
I want to see him. Is that his best when he's snapping clubs and throwing tantrums, John Rahm? bring me that version, and we will then see John Rahm winning golf tournaments again.
Yeah. Well, he likes the US Open, so we'll see. He's won the US Open before. We'll see in a month's time how he's going to react to this. But I think it was such a shame how he finished. And then your man, Bryson DeChambeau, we need to keep a close eye on him. I mean, his driving is absolutely spectacular at the moment. I don't think I've ever seen anyone drive the ball better than Bryson DeChambeau.
I said to you, didn't I? After Rory had been out for about 9 holes on Thursday, after today, DeChambeau is going to be favourite. It didn't work out that way, but this guy is a guy that's just going to compete for the coming years.
Extremely unwelcome text at that time when after McIlroy's disastrous start. I understand what you were getting at. I think he's the best driver in the game at the moment, Bryson DeChambeau. But his iron play is poor, and he's not happy with his equipment. He's trying to get him to build a different set of irons. They didn't get him in time for the USPGA.
All the same length again.
Obviously he does things differently to most, but I think with that weapon, that driving is so spectacularly good, he's a huge runner for the US Open. He's just got to find a way to get this iron play sorted out. His chipping and putting is in decent shape. Bryson DeChambeau massively on the radar. John Rahm less so. Davis Riley, we've got a lot to discuss about Davis Riley. He tied second. Yeah. 400 to 1. We tipped him in the without Scheffler market on Sunday, so he was a dead heat winner of that at 9. You could get 9 to 1, but obviously I'm kicking myself for not having him in the outright market, Dave, I was getting loads of stick for having the temerity to tip a couple of big price outsiders who obviously played poorly. But I just felt I should have had more outsiders. I felt I should have had Davis Riley. I should have had more outsiders. If you look at that leaderboard, Dave, I have no regret about going for a couple of outsiders. I should have had more. 12 of the top 16 started the event 100 to 1 or more. You take Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau, Wackham Neiman and John Rahm out of it. The rest of them were rags, Dave. And Riley was 400 to 1. So I know I would have got all sorts of abuse for tipping my beloved Riley, but it would have been an 80 to 1 place winner. But he's playing this week. We'll discuss him later. Wackham Neiman, you must have been pleased to see him play well at last in a major.
So tidy. Such a great player to watch.
Yeah. Tied eighth. So finally got a top 10 in a major. Maybe he'll build on that. We got to look to the future. Don't talk to me about Adam Scott. I mean, any viewers that were on Adam Scott for Top Aussie, that was our main special that we liked, wasn't it?
I saw a few people in the comment section.
Oh, did you? I haven't even dared look at the comment section this week because I know I've cost people money with that Rory McIlroy tip. But, you know, Adam Scott was two shots clear with a hole to play. So he's only got a bogey or worse at the 72nd hole to be Top Aussie. Bogey or worse. He's hit the perfect drive. You know, literally couldn't have put it in a better place. And he's made six. So he tied with Cameron Davis. So, yeah, it's a tournament to forget, Dave. I'll make sure we're in better shape for the US Open.
Okay. Well, I've said this to you before, but I don't want you to beat yourself up, Steve, because last week or the week before was very good. Yeah. And tipping and punting on golf is very hard. So,
yeah,
peck her up. We go again. Two tournaments to get stuck into. Do you have anything else to add?
Well, yeah, no, two tournaments get stuck into, and it seems we're better at the sort of bread and butter events at the moment. Bit of a tongue twister that we're better at the bread events, and so we've got two classically bread and butter events this week. So let's put plenty of butter on our bread and get stuck in.
Okay, right. The first thing I'm going to mention here is Dal Whitnall. He's a big price for this. I had dinner with him on Friday. He's in good form. His caddy is somewhat character. That's not for airing or broadcasting any of the conversations I had with his caddy. But Dal is a top man. He's in good form. We've adopted him as our own. He's been on the show, so hopefully he can go well. We are, of course, off to Antwerp, the diamond capital of the world here, Steve. What's the tournament, Pseudo Open, and where are we?
We can't afford any diamonds after last week, Dave, but if we have a week like we had the week before, then we'll get stuck in. I'm not a diamond man. Do you like diamonds?
Not really, no.
No. My wife's got some diamonds on her engagement ring, I believe. But anyway, the diamond cap. That's great knowledge, Dave. You always bring some fascinating tidbits to the table. but yeah, we're at Rinkven International, Antwerp, the diamond capital, Belgium. 6,940 yards, par 71, two par fives, a short, tight, tree-lined classic track. Hosted the Belgian knockout in 2018 and 2019. It's been a 72-hole stroke play event as the Soudal Open since 2022. A classic test of precision, Dave. Cool conditions, clear conditions, moderate afternoon breezes every day this week. So, tricky test, a field of 156 going to post.
Marvellous. Right, let's give you a show. One of the names up here, I'm really hoping is not on the list, but we'll see. Jordan Smith, alongside Thomas Peters, Laurie Cantor, and big prices here. We're 22-1 the field. They're the first three in the market, wide open. This is a proper DP event. How many in the team?
It is wide open. We have six selections, Dave. We've got six in this one, four in the next one.
What's the key attribute you're looking at this week? Accuracy?
Accuracy. You have to be very neat and tidy. You have to manage your ball well. Yeah, any errant shot, severely punished.
Right. Okay. Main selection is?
Jorge Campillo. The ideal candidate for success at Rinkven International. Accurate, unflashy, plays the percentages, neat and tidy. This game has won him three DP World Tour titles. The most recent came in the 2023 Kenya Open, another test of precision. In the 2018 Belgian knockout, he led on his own after the stroke play section of that tournament. So you had two rounds of stroke play before the knockout stages. Campillo topped the leaderboard, qualified in style. Then he made the last eight of the knockout competition, lost to the eventual champion, Adrian Ottagawi, in the quarterfinals. Made his Rinkven return in 2022, finished 15th. Missed the cut on the mark with an ice-cold putter in 2023. So this is his fourth Rinkven start this week, and he arrives in terrific nick. He tied second in the Turkish Airlines Open the week before last. He topped the approach play stats in that event. He carded a pair of 70s at Walton Heath on Monday, yesterday. We'll be discussing that a lot. There was a US Open qualifier. Your mate Dale played in that. He shot a pair of 70s, just missed out on US Open qualifying. But yeah, clearly in terrific nick again. Ideal course for him. I think a fourth DP World Tour title is coming for Jorge Campillo.
Marvellous. Right. One of six. So he's the main. Who's the next best?
Guido Migliozzi, who won the Belgian knockout on his Rinkven debut in 2019. He's finished 52nd and 24th in his only two Sudal Open starts. Migliozzi is excellent at adapting his game day for this type of course. He's quite happy to take his foot off the gas, you know, throttle down, play long irons off the tee. He's very good at when he's reined in, he's actually exceptional. We saw that when he won the Kenya Open in 2019. We saw that when he won the French Open in 2022. He won the KLM Open on a really short track last June. So yeah, Migliozzi, really effective when reined in. I can see a fifth DP World Tour title for the Italian Stallion on Sunday. You forget how many, he's a prolific champion. When he gets a sniff of a victory, he's very good at taking it. And the Turkish Airlines Open, very encouraging for Campillo fans, but very encouraging for Migliozzi fans. Four solid rounds, 17th place. And then yesterday at Walton Heath, he played exceptionally well. 68-67, tied second. So booked a US Open ticket in style. And that is a huge fillip for him. He's not going to the US Open to make up the numbers. His US Open record is great. He's finished fourth in the US Open. So, yeah, massive moment for him qualifying for that. Jets on a plane to Antwerp and, in great spirits.
Marvellous. They're the players that we're looking for, right? Get a sniff of the win, sprint to that winning line. Don't be shy of it. None of these flaky players on the back nine on Sunday.
Absolutely, Dave. Yeah. Guido's not scared.
Right. Third pick is
Adrian Sadier, playing some of the best golf of his career. Fresh as a daisy, Dave. We got three players who played in that US Open qualifier yesterday. We got three players that didn't. Sadier didn't. He has posted a top 20 finish in five of his last eight tournaments. He was seventh in the Kenya Open test of accuracy in February, third in the Singapore Classic at the end of March, fifth in the Indian Open. I see no reason why he fails to threaten a maiden DP World Tour title again. It's been a long wait for the Sadier breakthrough. But French golf is in a great place at the moment. Yeah. Martin Kuvler, we mentioned it, didn't we, last week? Martin Kuvler going places fast. I think Kuvler can inspire his fellow countrymen. We've seen this with the French. They're a close-knit bunch. They can egg each other on. Sadier won on the Challenge Tour in 2016. As I say, we've all been waiting for the breakthrough on the DP World Tour. He turned 33 last week. Maybe his time's come. He was 13th in the Sudal Open last year. Pair of weekend 67s. Finished only five shots off the lead. This year, he tees off 242 places better in the world rankings than he was in last year's Sudal.
Good stuff. Because the prices are getting bigger then. I hope that's three down.
Yes, sir.
Next one.
Another Frenchman, Dave, another Frenchman. They're all egging each other on. Frédéric Lacroix. I think he can follow in Kuvler's footsteps and win another DP World Tour title soon. He won his maiden title in Denmark last year, you might remember. August last year, four-shot romp. He hasn't kicked on from there, had a quiet rest of the season. His last three outings, though, hugely encouraging. 13th place in the Indian Open, a closing 63 for 24th place in the Turkish Airlines Open. So he outscored everybody in the field on the final day in Turkey. And then yesterday, rounds of 67, 68 at Walton Heath, tied second with Migliozzi, booked a US Open ticket. So typically solid ball striker, clearly back to form. I think he contends at Rincon for the first time.
I like the idea of going with these players that are buoyed by qualifying.
Yeah. There's a fine balance, isn't there? Because playing 36 holes on a Monday is a little bit tiring. Take Tuesday off, take Wednesday off. They've both played the course before, so they can just get going again on Thursday.
Yeah, interestingly, I saw quite a few players. Where Dow was playing in it, I've never really drilled down too much into these qualifiers, but, you know, the players walking off after 10 holes. Like, I'm going to Heathrow, I'm off to Belgium.
That's it, yeah. As soon as their qualification chance is gone, there's no point in staying on. Obviously, there's no money involved. It's just a case of trying to get your US Open ticket. So, yeah, I completely understand why they all withdraw. Dale gave up after a round, did he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
So. I understand. Too hungover from his big night out with Dave.
No, he wasn't. No, he was very well behaved. I will say that. Very well behaved. Yeah, listen. He fancies his chances this week, so we'll see. Hopefully, he can go well at a big price. Right, we are four down.
Two to go. Who didn't play? So we've got two more that didn't play in the US Open qualifier. Jaden Schaper. We have to go again with Jaden Schaper. Rincon is a course which suits, fairways and greens. If Jaden can hold a few more putts, I think he may shed his maiden tag this week. I mean, he's only 24. You know, we've been backing him for what seems like 100 years, but he is only 24. Closed with a 65 for 24th place in Turkey last time out. Hopefully gets out the starting stalls a bit quicker in Belgium. He closed with a 67 for 41st place on his Rinkman debut 12 months ago. So got used to the course over the first three rounds. Clearly got a handle on it by the Sunday and played great. Only seven players outscored him in the final round last year. So we have to go in again with Jaden Schaefer.
Okay, right. One more to go then. Nice, big, juicy price, I hope, this one.
Yeah, and keeping the faith again, it's Marcus Kinhult. We were on him in Turkey. He nearly placed for us in Turkey at a really juicy price. Double bogey on the 72nd hole. Finished 12th. But his game looked in great nick. This week's assignment, another course which suits. He was 22nd in 2023. Missed the cut on the mark last year, despite a Friday 67. Just a chalked up at a disrespectful price again, Davey. It was a disrespectful price in Turkey. I don't think the layers have learned their lesson from that, because he played really well in Turkey. And again, he's going off at a juicy price. We can't let this happen, Dave. We can't let it happen.
And anyone who sort of missed the preview for Turkey, you know, I asked you the same question here. Like, where has he been? He was obviously a player that was in and around a lot of the European Tour events a few years ago, and he's seemingly dropped off the radar, not quite the player he was. There was a bit of money for him heading into Turkey. He showed up well. You obviously put him up as well. You know, why are we back on the Kinhult train?
Yeah, one of the most promising players in Europe in his late teens, you know, contending for titles at the age of 17, a prodigy, won the British Masters in 2019, world at his feet, had some health problems. But he's got his health back. He's looking vibrant again. I mean, I was really impressed with him in Turkey. Just that late double bogey stopped the payout. But I'm confident he gets in the mix this time.
Right. Listen, any other vibrant golfers, I'm keen to keep them on side. So I'm sure that's, good form. Vibrant. Beautiful word. Right. One more player. Who else we got?
No, that's it. That's your six, Dave. That's your six.
Six is plenty. Right.
I know you're
okay.
Desperate for me to say Thomas Peters. So.
Yes, I was. How did you know? Let's start with him. Okay. He's very well respected in the market here, Steve.
Sure. I mean, he'll obviously have the support. He's a local lad. He knows the course well, but he'll know that the course doesn't play to his strengths. It's all very well knowing a course. I know plenty of courses around here that I can't handle. He knows that Rinkman puts him in a straitjacket. You know, this is a very naturally aggressive player. His power is his main asset. I'm his biggest fan. But even his biggest fans can't back him as favourite for this. I mean, he's really got to rein in his attacking instincts.
Okay, what about Jordan Smith and Laurie Cantor?
Yeah, Jordan Smith, another near miss the other day. Difficult to trust in contention. And he'll be devastated that his great mate, Laurie Cantor, withdrew today, actually, just before we came on. Just before we came on air, I noticed Laurie Cantor is a non-runner. I thought it was a surprising entrant, actually, because he's very prominent in the world rankings now. He doesn't need to mess with the Sudal Opens, really. But, yeah, he's left poor old Jordan to travel on his own, and poor old Jordan won't have a dinner companion. Jordan Smith, no value. Thomas Peters, no value. Very happy with my team.
Should we move on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, right. Let's move on then to the Charles Schwab Challenge. Two things you know I love, Steve. A nice trophy and a nice clubhouse. And what a marvellous clubhouse here. And also a tartan jacket to the winner, which is beautiful.
Yeah, it's got the lot, isn't it? Yeah, an historic clubhouse. We've been playing at Colonial for donkey's years. There's been a PGA Tour event at this venue since 1946. Colonial Country Club, Fort Worth, Texas. 7,289 yards now, par 70, only two par fives. We had a restoration, as they call it, before last year's event. Jill Hance was in charge of that. But the course remains a test of accuracy over power. You can't overwhelm Colonial. You've got to play precise golf. We've got three breezy afternoons this week, Dave. From Friday onwards, it's breezy afternoon. So, yeah, a straight hitter who putts well will probably win this. We've got a field of 135 going to post. Very, very queer field size. They've invited three ceremonial golfers for reasons unknown, like former champions. Corey Pavin is playing, David Frost is playing, Olin Brown is playing. So, yeah, a very, very odd field size of 135.
Okay, and there's been some big price winners. I was looking at previous winners. Davis Riley, Grillo, Sam Burns, Jason Cockcrack, Daniel Berger, Kevin Na. Most of those, almost, if not, three-figure prices. Yeah. We have got a very short price favourite here. The Chef, around about 5-2. And then it is about a pony, 25-1. Daniel Berger, Jordan Spieth, Tommy Fleetwood. How many selections here?
We got four, Dave.
Okay, right. I'm assuming that one of those is not the Chef, so we'll get to him. Who's the main pick?
Yeah, we'll get to him. The Scheffler's not in the staking plan. The captain, as we're trying now to call him. The number one selection is Daniel Berger. It's time to take another bite from the burger. We've been eating a lot of burger lately, but for very good reason, Dave. He's playing the best golf of his career. He's never been fitter. He's never been more in control of his golf ball. It seems only a matter of time before he wins a fifth PGA Tour title, and Colonial is such a good fit for him. Berger won this event in 2020. I think you might remember this event. I know I challenge you quite a lot, but you might remember this one because we were so hungry for golf. This was the return of golf. This tournament was actually called the return of golf, the first event after COVID-19 had ruined our lives for so long. So you had that big suspension of the schedule, and then everyone came back for this event. You know, that was the strongest Charles Schwab we'd ever had. So the 2020 Colonial Field, Berger beat Colin Morikawa in a playoff. Justin Rose, Bryson DeChambeau, Xander Schauffele were not far behind. Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, Scotty Scheffler, all in attendance. So the best edition of this tournament we've ever had was won by Daniel Berger. This week he's got only a handful of star names up against him. He's been in magnificently consistent form, nothing worse than 33rd place in his last 10 tournaments, second in the Phoenix Open, third in the Heritage a month ago. So bear in mind, that event came a week after a major. This week, we're a week after a major, playing a similar test that you have in the Heritage. He closed with a 68 at Quail Hollow on Sunday. Only three players outscored him in the final round of the USPGA. It's very difficult to see Berger failing to contend for this. The biggest threat to the favourite.
Good case made for the Berger. Again, another beautiful name for headline writers. So looking forward to that one in the Racing Post. That is the first of four. Who's the next best?
Next best, Harris English, who was one of those three players who outscored Berger on Sunday. English closed with a 65 at Quail Hollow, the best round of anyone that day, rocketed up the leaderboard to an eventual share of second place. Finally saw some putts drop in. He hit his ball superbly all week at Quail Hollow. His approach play was awesome. If we get a more typical English putting performance this week, he's usually really good with the flat stick. I think he's a surefire contender. He didn't hang around in Charlotte on Sunday. I thought it was interesting. It shows the respect the players have for Scotty Scheffler. As soon as English finished his round, he got on the plane, went home. Yeah, he was clubhouse leader, but he was just so confident that Scheffler would defend that lead that he didn't bother hanging around, and he was right to do that. So he was able to get some rest at home in Georgia before heading over to Texas for Colonial. All very short journeys. He won't need to do much practice when he gets there because he knows the course really well. He finished fifth on his Colonial debut way back in 2012. He was runner-up to Jordan Spieth in 2016. So got the course knowledge and has been in terrific form for a while. Last week's performance wasn't a flash in the pan. He was 18th in the Houston Open in March, 12th in the Masters, 11th in the Truist Championship. So, yeah, I think he's going to go close to a sixth PGA Tour title on Sunday. Another player, we forget how successful they are. A bit like Guido Migliozzi in Europe. He's won five PGA Tour titles.
Okay, right, let's move on to the third pick, Steve.
Davis Riley! Who I should have had last week at 400-1. Still angry about that. It'd take me years to get over. Went through my notes yesterday. I had 15 names on my shortlist and he was on there. I'm not making the same mistake this week, Dave. He's pure class. We must persist with him. Rewards will come. tied second on Sunday, made an eight at the seventh hole, Dave. I don't know if you noticed. Without that disaster hole, he would have given Scheffler a real fright because he found water at that hole. Then he three-putted from 6 feet. So, yeah, one hole where it all went horribly wrong. But on the other 17 holes, he made no serious mistakes. He looked comfortable in contention. I feel it was a coming-of-age performance for Davis Riley. He's 28 years of age, and he'll certainly feel comfortable at Colonial because, you know, he won this tournament going away last year. Five-shot victory, Dave. Were you watching it last year? Five-shot victory. And what you need to remember, he was up against Scotty Scheffler. He's playing with Scotty Scheffler in the final two ball last year. And most people are expecting Scheffler to prevail in that battle. But Riley stared down Scotty Scheffler, outscored him on the Sunday, and won his maiden PGA Tour title. So, yeah, Riley is the new king of Colonial. We had that restoration before last year's event. So, you know, slight course alteration. So the only man who's won on this revised course is Davis Riley. He finished fourth in the 2022 Charles Schwab to indicate his liking for the layout. So, yeah, I think someone's going to have to play really well to take the title off Davis Riley.
The king. Well, there's no better form, course form, than last year's form. So there you go. He's the defending champion. One more to come. Give it to us.
Brian Harman, who won the Texas Open by 3 shots the last time he came to the Lone Star State. It was a brilliant performance. Some of his scrambling in that Texas Open was exquisite. You know what you're going to get with Brian Harman. You know, the Georgia Bulldog, accurate grinder. We saw that when he won the Open Championship in 2023. We saw it when he finished third in the Heritage a month ago. He, like Daniel Berger, he was able to get straight back down to business after a major. I think it would be the same story this week. He finished 60th last week at Quail Hollow. Not a good course for him. You know, short hitters really up against it there, as we discussed. Colonial, in contrast, ideal for Brian Harman. He's got over a decade's worth of experience at this track. Leaderboard regular, underrated in the betting, as he often is. He's underrated in the betting.
Big price. Okay, that is the quartet. Let's talk about the captain then, shall we? I'm just looking. He's around about a 5-2 chance. He's being backed as well. Was you tempted? Why is he playing?
Oh, he's playing because he loves the Texas events. You know, why did he pick the Byron Nelson ahead of the Truist Championship? Because he loves Texas. He's a Texas man, moved here as a youngster. He's Texas through and through now, even though he wasn't born in Texas. Yeah, he's the most likely winner of this event, obviously. Always seems to have that motivation to win Texas events. He's come close to winning this over the last few years. His form figures are 2-3-2. Distance control on approach is probably the most important attribute to have this week. Nobody better than Scheffler in this regard. So, yeah, I mean, the scary thing is, as we are sort of taking him on here, we're obviously having each-way bets on our guys, but we're taking him on. The scary thing is this course probably suits him more than the Byron Nelson one did. And obviously he won the Byron Nelson by 8 shots. So yeah, I think he's a fair price, Dave. I can understand people getting involved, but he's never won this. You know, I had a friend text me yesterday. You know, he was keen on backing Scheffler, and he said, can you put me off? And I just think the most obvious thing to reply to that is he's been trying to win this every year. He plays every year. He's trying to win it every year and he's never won it. So in that regard, I wouldn't be playing the short prices. And I think if you are going to play the short prices, you know, we've discussed this before, you want everything in your favour when you are playing the short prices. I think you want to wait for the tee times. There's no value in not waiting for the tee times because there's a potential for a slight draw bias. I'm not sounding the klaxon, but there's potential for a slight draw bias. I think the late early wave will be slightly advantageous because there's no wind on Thursday afternoon and there is some on Friday afternoon. So, yeah, I don't want to put people off Scheffler, but I would wait for the tee times if you're going to play. I just prefer each way bets on my four. I think that's a more sensible betting tactic than just a win only chunk on the Scheff.
Right, let's pick your brain some of the other market principles. Jordan Spieth, second in.
Well, we talk about morale being important in players. You know, these are human beings, and he would have left the USPGA last week absolutely crestfallen, because there were some encouraging signs going into it. USPGA is his most important tournament of the season. It will be until he wins it, if and when he wins it. He's trying to complete the career Grand Slam last week. He would have been really geared up for that USPGA. Massive hammer blow to miss the cut. You know, his Grand Slam dream lasted only 2 days. So he obviously got great course form in this event. Another Texan who's obsessed with these sort of tournaments. But iron play so inconsistent. Don't trust him on approach at the moment. I've got no interest in Spieth.
That's fair enough. Right, if you are wanting to follow Steve's tips, of course you are. That's why you're here. SBK are running 25% winnings boost on the Charles Schwab this week. So there you go. Bet 10, get 40, and you find the winner of the Charles Schwab, and they give you 25% on top of that as well. Terms and conditions do apply. Make sure you jump onto betsbk.com for all the information there. Before we do the tipping roundup, Steve, what you got coming up this week?
Well, I was just thinking, if you do fancy Scheffler, that would be an excellent way of boosting your odds, wouldn't it? Because it's a very short price, not a working man's price. If you play that offer and the 25% boost, then you're getting Scheffler at a nice price. So if you do fancy him, bet with SBK there. What am I doing this week? Well, I'm jetting off, Dave. I'm jetting off to Spain.
Lovely.
Going to sample some of Spain's best golf courses. Valderrama is on the schedule, Dave. So I need a winner this week to pay for my Titleist Pro V1s, because I can imagine I'm going to need plenty of balls at Valderrama.
Is this a family trip or a golf trip?
No, that's a golf trip with some friends.
Beautiful.
Hawaii 501s are going to be my partner on at Valderrama, I would imagine. So testing golf courses, but I need a break, Dave. I need a break. The USPGA was a frazzle, me, to be honest. Yeah, that's my plan. Going away for a few
marvellous.
Days.
Marvellous. Excellent. Well, you can report back on the state of Valderrama in a couple of weeks' time when we are back. Yeah. Right, let's have a roundup then. We've got a 6 and a 4, so we've got 24 each-way doubles. Let's start in Antwerp. Who are we going for?
Jorge Campillo, Guido Migliozzi, Adrian Sadier, Jaden Schaefer, Frederic Lacroix, and Marcus Kinholt.
Okay, and we've got 4 for the Charles Schwab.
Daniel Berger, Harris English, Davis Riley, Brian Harman.
Marvellous. Right, the sweet spot will be back next week without myself and Steve. So make sure you do tune in. I'm sure the guys who are stepping in will steer you on to plenty of winners as well. Able deputies coming in next week. Steve's off to sunshine. I'm not quite going to be finding some sunshine, but I'm having a week off as well. We will see you next time. Make sure you gamble responsibly and enjoy the golf.